Good morning. Merry Christmas. Please turn around and give somebody warm handshake, bright smile, a hug, Christmas greeting. You are all welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. And the one thing I love about Christmas is I get to see people I've not seen in ages. And people who have not been here in a long time, maybe they are just coming in to spend Christmas, their families, and they come to church. And just a beautiful way that God works out for us to gather together as we look back at his birth and we rejoice together. So you're all welcome if you're first time. It's your first time here. You're welcome to fellowship with us. May we please turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, Christmas narrative. Luke chapter 2. And came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful story of your coming. Thank you so much for this miraculous, amidst ordinary livelihood, O God. Thank you so much for seeking us, Lord, from the day we fell in Adam and in Eden, Lord, and pursuing us with your love, with your grace, with your truth, and coming that we would be reconciled to you and be in heaven with you. So, Lord Jesus, may you, as we reflect and meditate and look at this supernatural story, that we would be refreshed, Lord, and awakened and sobered, at the same time strengthened and challenged to tell people about you. Lead us by your Spirit as we learn through this passage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week on Sunday, we looked at how in the ordinary, God intervenes with his supernatural. And on one extreme, there are those who do not believe in miracles whatsoever. They look at the Bible and it's a lie. He did not walk on water. Jesus was just a man. He was just a teacher. He just taught morals. You know, they reduced him to whatever they want to. And then on the other extreme, we have people who overemphasize miracles. Every Sunday, if you don't experience a miracle in a service, there's a problem with you, right? God has a miracle with your name on it all the time, even now. But Christmas and this narrative is really God in ordinary life. We saw Mary just preparing for a wedding and Joseph maybe looking for his suit, polishing up his shoes, preparing the house for his bride. God sends an angel. Almost 500 years since an angel had been sent out to Israel. This is over 400 years since God last sent a prophet to Israel. And now there is a census. Normal, right? Just like we have a political environment right now. They're going to be registered. They're going to be numbered so they would be taxed. Normal, right? We all get taxed. They're looking for somewhere. Looks like the last time in Bethlehem, Joseph's hometown, was many years ago. So they don't even have a place arranged for their coming. I mean, if you know that your family is coming, your brother is coming, maybe Joseph's brother or Mary's in-laws, they would have prepared a place for them. Joseph is coming. Mary's pregnant, let's have a place for them. That didn't happen. And there was, with no room, no nuns, probably, the Savior of the world is born. And we saw from a text on Sunday that the first miracle happened, but just the visitation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. That's a miracle in itself, and we can count so many miracles around Christmas time, and we continuously see God in ordinary daylight, moonlight. By the way, I'm told that this Christmas is the only one that will have a full moon, and it only happens once every 38 years. So tonight, you can go out and enjoy a full moon. You can sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. It happens once in 38 years. Ordinary moonlight, the craze of people coming in, an angel had announced a baby is coming. None of our births was announced to anyone. Right? Was your birth announced to anybody? Look at the conception. It's a miracle. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be the Son of God. Look at the way the baby was conceived. We know the natural process that God designed that babies are conceived, which is in itself a miracle, right? I've been in hospital with all my boys born, and I'm thinking, what? A life coming from a life. And this little baby, a full human being with all functions, it's a miracle. I mean, biology and science can reduce it to explain the process. So this happens, and this merges, and the baby forms. You think about it, a lung in there, a heartbeat, food, the brain is thinking there, everything is normal, alive. How about this? God himself, supernaturally, overshadows Mary. When Joseph and Mary are trying to separate, she doesn't know a man, a baby is in there. And not just any other baby, it's Jesus Christ, our Lord. The incarnation, the ability for God in his glory, in his majesty, with his crown, with angels and cherubim and seraphim worshiping him, laying down his majesty and coming in form of a human being. Isn't that incredible? In John chapter 1, verse 14, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The wholeness, the fullness of God's grace and truth in Jesus Christ is right here born. Look at the declaration in Luke chapter 11, rather chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. How the birth was announced. Shepherds, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Praise the Lord. Shepherds out there thinking about their sheep, staring at the stars in the sky, waiting for morning dawn, find pasture for their sheep. Maybe they cannot sleep. They're bored, extremely bored. And then all of a sudden the sky lights up and they have a great announcement to hear. This is live heavenly TV. You have digital TV. This is live heavenly TV. Look here, shepherds. A Savior is born. How many of us had a birth announced? Hardly, at least in my day. We didn't even have phones. Alright? If a baby's born, when I was born, I don't think anybody heard about it. Apart from, oh, we last had, his mother was pregnant, so is the baby there? How old is he? No shepherd heard about my birth or any of our births. God again, in ordinary day, normal shepherds, intervenes with his extraordinary, his supernatural. And this Christmas, we need to be reminded that God is doing so many supernatural things around us. So many. On your way to church, he was doing something. We're going home, he's doing something. You're going to enjoy a delicious meal. He is doing something. All right? You go to a funeral and people are getting saved. It's a miracle. It's a scene of mourning and crying and weeping. And God is touching people's hearts and drawing them to himself. Right now, there are those who may not have the privilege of rejoicing. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. Maybe it's just dry spiritually. But God is doing something, is watering them, is comforting them, speaking to them. A Savior is born. And you'll find him wrapped in a manger. Some details. And suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards who? Towards us. All this God does to win you and me. Incredible. All the prophecies about his coming, about his ministry, and all the miracles around his birth, the announcement, the conception, the incarnation, and then the birth. The shepherds hear, glory to God in the highest and on earth, on you, peace and goodwill. It's a miracle that God pursues us even in the night watch. And he says, I love you. I am here for you. I'm doing something for your peace, for your good. And it's right here. Your Savior is born. And then we have the narrative of the visitation. You can turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. We call them the wise men. A baby is born. It's been announced to shepherds. The angels have sung. And then we have a certain group of people from far east. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, they came looking for this baby. A star had appeared. And this is not any other star. This is the star that points them to where Jesus was. While everybody missed it, no room for him to be born, no nurse, no clothes, no baby cot. Some people had been following the prophecies, probably prophecies of Daniel, when he lived in Babylon. Angel Gabriel had been sent to Daniel 500 years prior to this to map out God's plan for the rest of the years. And maybe these men were so keen to follow through. And a star appears and they're thinking, this is not just any other star. This star says something. And this is not just a mythical star, something that just kind of appears and disappears. After its mission, it kind of just disappears. This is a real star. Everybody could see it. Only these men knew the meaning of what was happening, the meaning of that shining star. When they had the king, they departed and beheld the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They traveled days, weeks, even months on foot, on camel, following this very star. The king, Herod, missed what was happening. Everyone did. Even when they approached the palace, the priests, everybody was like, this is an ordinary day. What are you looking for? You go back home. You find the king, you tell us. We will also come and see him. They turned them away. But they knew what they were looking for. They were looking for the king who was born. This is, again, a miracle. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have maps. Where Mary and Joseph lived was completely not a scene that you can look for. Like, oh, that is their house there. It's blue, it's high, it's brilliant. And how some depict Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus as just glowing. Like in the night you could see them. Like even when they are asleep, their house is glowing. No. Everything is ordinary, normal. It's a normal baby. Not just any other baby. This is a king. I mean, whose birth can be arranged this way? I mean, who has a good story of a good birth? If you're born in the 80s like me, it was war. Right? I know of somebody who was born and wrapped in banana leaves and they survived through the war. Which is a miracle, by the way. But a star in the sky pointing towards the house, and there Mary, Joseph, and the baby were poor. And all of a sudden, they're receiving gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Expensive stuff. That speak about his royalty, his ministry, his death. I mean, whose death is announced at their birth? Who knew that you're going to die the way you're going to die? The very day you're born. Or at least within the first few years. This is a king. He's going to die. Frankincense. He's a high priest. He's a priest, he's going to make intercession for us before God. And myrrh, he's going to die and be embalmed with this oil. It's a miracle again. Remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when Mary was like, how on earth is this possible? You know what the angel told her? For with God, nothing will be impossible. And around this Christmas time, as we celebrate, as we eat, as we make merry, I'm sure there are things that we would like to see God do in each of our hearts and minds. There are things, and you're thinking, I can't wait for 2016, I would like to see God do something. Whatever it is. Maybe you're not even dreaming of anything, just like Mary and Joseph, you're just preparing for a wedding. You're just preparing to go back to work on 2nd or 3rd or 4th January. You're just continuing life and business as usual. God is reminding us that he's up to something. Whether you expect it or not, God is doing something amidst us and among us in our hearts that we can't and we won't even believe when we see it. With God, nothing is impossible. And maybe we should start thinking of impossible things, right? Like, all right, with God, nothing is impossible. All right, let me think about something really impossible. Right? And God will confound our imagination. He will do more than we can think or even imagine. Amidst all the difficulties Joseph and Mary are going through, our Savior, our God, our King is right there amidst them, amidst us. Maybe you're worrying about something. Maybe you're in politics. You do not know whether you're making it back to parliament. Maybe you're behind a candidate and you're thinking, God help. You have a longing, a desire, a request before the Lord. And I hear now people can decree and declare, right? Where do they get that from? You hear everywhere, on radio, on TV, Lord, we want to decree and declare. And you're thinking, who are you, you know? Are you the king of Persia? Then you have a longing and you're thinking, I'm decreeing and declaring a glorious 2016. Whatever it is, just a simple reminder, God is so involved in our lives, and we should be aware. In everything, God is so involved. Reminds me of Psalm 72, verse 18. And in the Psalms, the psalmist swing from low to high, to middle to everywhere, from depression to anxiety, to excitement, to worship, to prayer, everything. And in Psalm 72, really the end of this psalm, verse 18, the psalmist breaks out almost in worship, just thinking about God. Think about, in the previous psalms, his deliverance from Egypt and his miracles from the day he called them out of Egypt. In Psalm 72, verse 18, the psalmist wrote, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things." Praise the Lord. He only does wonderful things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's read that verse together. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Should I say anything else? Merry Christmas. Let's stand and pray. The one thing God does around Christmas time is also draws people to himself. And maybe you came to church this Christmas, and you may not even know it, but you're looking for the Lord. You're looking for Jesus Christ. He's here. That's why he came. That's why he was born. That's why he intervened. That's why he came in human flesh. And I'd like to request you, just ask him to come in your heart. Just ask him to be born in your heart. And we'll be silent for just a moment and just allow you to talk to Jesus Christ. And for all of us who know him, just be quiet for a while, just thinking about his wonderful things and just constantly being aware that he's here with us. Father, we do thank you so much for the wonderful things that you do amongst us, Lord. The one thing that you're always doing is drawing us to yourself. That's why you came. That's why you intervened. That's why you put on human flesh. That's why in the middle of an ordinary day, chaos, turmoil, confusion, Lord, you came. Lord, we just want to wake up, be sobered up, be reminded that you're here with us. Your name is Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, as we rejoice, as we worship, as we honor you, Lord, we just want to enjoy you. There's nothing more that we'd like to enjoy apart from you being with us. That excites us the most, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.